Yep.
Great. Thank you. This meeting is being held via teleconference pursuant to executive orders N25-20 and N-29-20. The board of directors and employees of Navigator School meeting via Zoom, and members of the public who wish to access this board meeting have been provided the numbers. Members of the public attending online who wish to comment during the board meeting will use the online raise hand tool in Zoom when the chairperson elicits public comments. Members of the public planning to attend by phone are requested to confirm their intent and hopefully have done so. The public comments period included in the agenda is reserved for comments on items that are not listed on the agenda. Public comments on agenda items will be elicited by the chair as items arise following the order of the agenda. Individual comments will be limited to 3 minutes. If an interpreter is needed, comments will be translated into English and the time shall be extended to 6 minutes. Modifications and accommodations have been made for those members of the public who need reasonable accommodations due to disabilities. And on the agenda, the remarks I made, a form of them have are included in Spanish. The opening items having concluded, Sean, would you record the attendance and let us know if we have any guests this evening?
Alfred Morricane. Chuck Daggs.
Present.
Claire Grissom.
Here.
Ian Connell.
Present.
JP Anderson.
Present.
Linda Kuroda.
Present.
John Flaherty.
Present.
Shar Hegde.
Present.
Victor Paredes Colonia.
Present.
We do have a quorum. I'm not aware of specific guests beyond our general staff.
Very good. Calling the meeting to order, I would move to item C, the opening remarks by the chair. And we have a lot to do this evening, some pretty substantive stuff. So I'll reserve my remarks for those subject matters. I hope everyone survived the earthquake today without damage. I know we felt it here in Gilroy. I presume we felt it in Hollister.
Sorry, just really quick. That's for okay. The purpose of gold.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Been silenced.
Okay. Shar, were your schools hit hard?
No, we felt it really good. Yeah, everybody was fine. Everyone was safe, but that building was shaking for quite a bit.
Terrific. Okay. We'll move on to item D, public comments. And Sean, it seemed like somebody wanted to comment on a non-agenda item.
I am currently looking for raised hands. I do not see any raised hands.
Is Ms. Hill a member of the public?
She's a staff member.
No.
So if someone would like to make a public comment, please use the raise hand feature. Otherwise, we'll move on. Yes, no raised hands. Let's give a moment
for somebody to learn a raised hand. Terrific.
No raised hands.
No raised hands. Okay, let's give one more short period of time.
John, Tina Hill is our student services coordinator, and I think that was just background noise when she was signing.
Background. Okay, good. Then we will move to, thank you, Kevin. We will move to the resolution 2023-05. This is a board resolution that is required passing, recognizing a state of emergency and reauthorizing the teleconference meetings pursuant to AB 361. Do I hear a motion to pass the resolution?
This is JP, so move.
Thank you, JP. Do I hear a second?
Yes, second.
Claire, seconds. Thank you, Claire. Comments and discussion. I would simply say it's October 25th, and I mentioned this the last time. We are, the board members should think between now and the next meeting in November whether or not we want to begin to meet in person or whether we want a hybrid model. I know on a couple of the other boards that I'm serving on that we've begun to meet in person, and another has provided a hybrid sort of situation. So with the assistance of our general counsel, if we, you all could give a thought about that, the next meeting we'll have a discussion about that and whether, when, how we go forward on that. I think all of us can draw on our experience of the onboard reboarding meeting where we, I think, enjoyed everyone's company. So let's give that some thought and have a discussion next week. That's all the comments I have. Any other discussion, comment? Hearing none. Sean, would you call the roll to approve resolution 2023-05?
Chuck Daggs?
Present.
Claire Grissom?
Present.
Ian Connell?
I
think we want to, if I can just go back, present is an abstention. So if I would instruct if the two previous votes wanted to change their vote to an aye, a present would be an abstention or not okay, a vote for aye.
I would vote aye.
Okay. Chuck is an aye. Claire is an aye.
Aye.
Ian Connell's an aye. JP Anderson.
Aye.
Hi, Mick Roga.
Aye.
John Flaherty.
Aye.
Shara Hegde.
Aye.
Victor Paredes Colonia.
Aye.
The motion is approved.
Thank you, Sean. Moving on to the approval of the minutes from the previous meeting that we had. This was the special meetings, the onboarding reboarding study session. Then if you recall, we had a break and had a second sort of a second chapter on in the day. So there are three approval of the minutes here, though. I would like to ask the board's indulgence to table this motion to the next meeting. I don't know if you all had a problem, but I had a problem accessing the minutes until 4:30 this evening. And Sean, I don't know if I was special or whether everyone had that problem, but I would like to table the approval of the minutes until I have a chance to read them. These were important minutes, and I want to make sure that they reflect what took place. Sean, do you have any help us on this?
Yes. So you're not the only one experiencing those difficulties, and I'm reaching out to Board on Track to resolve that issue.
Okay. Then do we on I suppose the right way to do this is I'd like to rather than do this all at do it for four separate times, I don't think anyone will object if we depart from the rules of the rules of the board and make a motion to move to table the approval of the minutes until the next full board meeting. Do I hear a second on that?
I'll second it, Chuck.
Thank you, Chuck. Any discussion regarding this? Hearing none, I move for a vote on items F, G, H, and I to be, just for sake of simplicity, to be tabled and moved to the next board meeting for approval. Sean, would you call the roll, please?
Chuck Daggs.
Aye.
Doug Grissom.
Aye.
Ian Connell.
Aye.
J.P. Anderson.
Aye.
Hi, Mick Kuroga.
Aye.
Don Flaherty.
Aye.
Shara Hegde.
Aye.
Victor Predislonia.
Aye.
The motion is approved.
Thank you, Sean. And if you could make sure Board on Track gets on track with respect to giving us our documents, it'd be appreciative.
And John, I just wanted to mention one thing. I don't know, for me, if you hit the download as a PDF, then you could see all the minutes. But if you try to click on them, you can't. So it's there's a weird glitch.
Yeah, I tried all three different ways and then brought in my wife, who's more who's not the Luddite that I am. And she said these aren't available. So I was even willing, well, I wasn't willing to print them out. But so. Thanks, Ann. Thanks for the suggestion. Moving on to item J, the CEO report. Kevin, recognized.
Hi, everyone. So the report was in the packet. Hopefully it was able to be downloaded. But I will share my screen and just show some of the highlights that were listed. And speak to him for a moment. The great exciting news was regarding Gilroy Prep and our application for the Charter School Facilities Program through Prop 51 was included in the project to be recommended for approval by the State Allocations Board tomorrow. So we'll know tomorrow if it is approved. It's rare that the projects that are recommended don't get approval at that stage after all the due diligence from the Office of Public School Construction and the California School Finance Authority. What this will mean for us, assuming it's approved and we're able to negotiate a long-term facilities deal with Gilroy Unified, it will mean $5.5 million coming in to support facility improvements at Gilroy Prep. Half of that would be a grant. The other half would be a low interest loan, 3% over 30 years. And it's going to allow us to add two new TK classrooms. There'll be larger size classrooms that are compliant for kindergarten under the state requirements. And also they will have bathrooms. It will also allow us to build two kindergarten classrooms. And then our current kinder classrooms can be repurposed to meet other needs like library space as well as intervention space. We'll also be adding a TK kinder playground. And one real huge priority that we have, we're already experiencing a lot of challenges with parking, and this will double our parking while also strengthening the traffic flow in and out of the drop-off area. And in addition, we'd be constructing a new play field and playground. So the funding allocations are formula-driven, and assuming that we're able to, once we submit all the related documents, that we do end up qualifying for the full $5.5 million. I'm pretty confident that we're going to be able to deliver this project on budget. We'll, as we get closer into it, we'll have more information. Just relatedly, the Finance Committee scheduled a special meeting to focus on facilities. And one of the areas that we'll be talking about is what will need to happen quickly in order to move this project forward as quickly as possible. And some of that will entail contracting with an architect, as well as other consultants to support, for example, the survey that will need to be done. So in our ideal world, we'll be moving very quickly so that, especially for the parking lot, we can address the media challenges we have there. And so the other related news is that our special attorney at YMC, who does a lot of facility work, is doing the first draft of the long-term lease. And Tom, we'll definitely loop you in on that when we get a draft of that before sharing it with the district. So any questions or comments on that?
Do you have contractors lined up so when the architects and the surveys are complete, you can start construction?
We do not have contractors lined up yet, but that will be something we'll start looking at pretty quickly, Chuck.
Okay.
Well, there's one particular contractor who's doing a very large project right next door to Gilroy Prep, the remodernization of South Valley Middle School. Mm-hmm. And there's a chance that if we're able to get our project through the Division of the State Architect quickly, that they may still be mobilized right on that campus and might be able to give us a pretty good deal. So we're hoping that they'll want to be in the running there, especially if they're still there.
That'd be great, because the only reason I ask is I think we're all aware there's a lot of demand for contractors today. And I don't know what kind of backlog you might be looking at, but that sounds like a great opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely.
I have a question. Is a permitting process with the city of Gilroy or the state?
For this one, it's with the state.
Got it. So it should be hopefully quick turnaround?
Well, it's the Division of the State Architect, and there are elements that require more layers of approval. So we'll see, Jaime. I don't want to make any promises I can't keep there.
For sure.
So a big part of the packet, John, are you trying to say something? John, it looks like you're talking, but we can't hear you. Can't hear you, John. Okay, keep going. So, you see a lot of pages in the packet from the federal program monitoring visit. Kirsten supplied a memo that explains the process as well as the related attachments. So this was pretty hot off the presses. When we shared the board meeting materials on Friday, we just received the report. So there are a few items that we'll need to correct within the next 45 days, and we'll be bringing those back to the board. Overall, they're out of the, 50 some odd items, they found about 6 findings that we'll need to address. And happy to pause now. If Kirsten, you want to add anything, or if there's any questions on that?
I don't have anything to add. Go ahead, Ian.
Yeah, just a quick question. So how frequently do they do this?
This was our first time. Okay. They said that they are randomly selecting LEAs that receive different federal funding. And what they do with an LEA, they'll take a sampling of 2 of the sites. So that's why it was WPS and HPS. They could have done all 3, but they just take a sampling. And we got lucky. It was random, a random lottery.
Okay. Okay, thanks. Yeah, that's helpful. And I guess just reading through, it seemed like they're remedies that can be easily corrected in that time frame.
Yes, and it's stuff that most of it were just policies we'd never had in place that we will be able to do now. And as we were working with them, we'll do it now for all four sites so that all four sites obviously are in compliance now.
John, are you able
to? How's this? Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
Oh, terrific. My question, Ian, covered most of my questions, so I'll move on. But those are big numbers, Kevin. Congratulations.
On the grant, not the findings.
Right? On the grant, not the findings, yes.
Just one thing, Ian, on the timing. We do think we can meet the deadline for the next. We're trying to keep it in sync with the board meetings, because we'll need to bring those policies back to the board. And our board meeting in December is too far out. And the next one on the 15th might be a little tight for us. So we have until November, we could go into the following week and still be within our 30-day for the AB 361 requirement. So, John, we were going to see if we could look at moving that November 15th meeting back to the November 22nd date. I don't know if we want to chat about that at all now, or we could send an email to see if that's possible.
I think an email is appropriate right now.
Okay, thank you. So the last item I'll report on is the Hayward Collegiate Integration. What we realized is that we needed our superstar founding principal of Gilroy Prep and Hollister Prep, James Dent, to step in and serve as interim principal to really help make sure that the launch at Hayward Collegiate with the merger goes off well. So James, thank you for stepping up. We're really glad to have you there. It's already made a big difference in strengthening the culture at Hayward Collegiate. We were experiencing some challenges. So we look forward to reporting more on that in the future. But we also appreciate Jaime's been great in staying on top of the pulse there for us in Hayward Collegiate as well, and has been helpful in sharing his observations. Another positive aspect of the switch that we made with Parisa, our former principal at Hayward Collegiate, stepping in to support us with our extended learning opportunities program. That's a big program. We needed some support, and we feel a good fit. And so her first day was yesterday, reporting through Kirsten, our director of engagement and partnerships.
So James, you've got a lot of balls in the air on the academic side. You're comfortable with jumping into both roles, that we can keep the momentum going on the academic side?
Yeah, I feel like our team over the last, I don't know, 4 to 5 years has just become very strong. And of course, I'm nervous a bit about it. Most nervous, Sean, I was going to ask if you could snip that part where Kevin was saying thank you and send it to my wife, because got to keep the home life peaceful and happy as well. But yeah, Chuck, in all seriousness, I feel like there's a great team behind all of us that are keeping the schools going strong. Melissa's at the schools every day. Kirsten's helping out. Sharon and our principal core, you know, teams are the best we've ever had. So
thanks for stepping up.
Yeah. The leadership teams at the schools, I should have said.
I just want to applaud you all for just course correcting quickly on this and you know, I think the shifts and James, you know, stepping in, it just, I think not only is going to be what's best for the, you know, unifying of the organizations, but also just signals, you know, how important this is for you to be, you know, taking that role. So just appreciate everyone on that and speed to act.
Thank you.
That is it, John, in terms of the CEO report for tonight.
Thanks, Kevin. I have one question that's not on your report. I think, excuse me, yesterday or today, depending on where you're reading it, the New York Times and other news outlets talked about the national report and the impact on COVID, and it received a lot of coverage. If you were asked by a reporter where, and James, this can go to you as well, where our schools fit into the national report and to the California part of it, what would our answer be?
You know, I've had an opportunity this afternoon to look at rocket ship schools, and congratulations, Shara, Cornerstone, way above the norm. Great work continuing there. I would say at the California level, our two big schools are 20 to 30% higher than the California state averages. It just came out, I mean, the scores just came out yesterday where we had full access to look at everything. But a lot of the rocket ship schools in particular, I've been looking at those tonight, are in the between the 20s and 40s. And we were in the 50s and high 60s. So these are schools that even WPS in its first time ever giving the assessment was able to outperform those schools. And Hayward Collegiate also in the 50s for both ELA and mathematics, just goes to show that we're definitely not where we want to be, but we're way ahead of the median and way ahead of the mean.
John, just to thanks, James, to add a little. So Hayward and Watsonville, since this was their first time doing the SBAC test, we couldn't really compare to see how much of an impact the pandemic had. But as far as Gilroy Prep and Hollister Prep, I think we saw what about a 20% drop, James, in terms of proficiency levels. And that was pretty consistent, I would say, John, probably in the median of what the drop was in the pandemic. But we'd have to do more analysis to give you specifics on how we rank within California and the nation in terms of the decline.
Yeah.
What I'm hearing, I think what I'm, go ahead, James, sorry.
I was just going to say the decline seemed to be more, even stronger in mathematics. That was what I was going to say.
Generally or for us?
Generally.
Yeah.
It was, for us and generally, yeah.
Okay. So what I'm hearing from the two of you is we were already high. Our drop was essentially sort of the same as everyone else, more or less. Everyone else got hit 20% or whatever. But we were high, so it wasn't as bad. We finished high again.
On average,
understanding that there's more analysis to be done.
Yes.
Okay.
I would say, like, the part it's also hard to gauge is how much did we actually make up last year? Like, if you look at we'd have to look at our interim assessments on our STAR. And when we looked at our STAR assessment, we predicted the SBAC scores based on the STAR, we actually did better than what the STAR interim assessments projected. So, you know, our kids may have come down further than others, depending on, you know, how you measure where they were at the beginning of the year last year. But we don't have the SBAC results until, we don't do that until May. So all that work that we did, and it was a lot last year, helped get the kids more prepared for that, for those SBACs in May.
Got it. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you, James. Appreciate the extra information.
Yep.
Do you guys think it's Pollyannish to think that this could be a wake-up call for the state and the federal government that education, particularly public education, deserves a much more, a bigger role relative to budgets and that type of thing from an investment standpoint? So,
if I understand you correctly, you're asking if there's common sense at play here?
Right. Right. I'm wondering.
Okay. So that had to be a rhetorical question, right, Chuck? I agree with you. I think it's ridiculous that this is, it's kind of no brainer, right? I mean,
well, you see all the data relative to the United States and other countries around the world, and the countries that are outperforming us are obviously making a much more meaningful investment. I'm just wondering, do you think this is enough to really get people's attention and as a wake-up call for what's necessary from an investment standpoint?
Agreed.
I'll say, Chuck, from my experience, unfortunately, I think California had it right back in the 2000s. And once they moved away from comparing similar schools and comparing, you know, schools altogether, I feel like it's harder to really understand who's beating the odds and who's not, and then go study those schools. Mm-hmm. But there are definitely some, you know, some that came through this unprecedented time period that are showing promise of at least holding the line to a degree.
Yeah.
Chuck, what I would say is I saw, I read the Time story, the Post story, and saw a couple of national stories. And then I saw the San Jose, I think it was CBS, Kirsten, a reporter named Darren something or other, where they showed a lot of parents. And I think the thing that struck me was how anxious the parents are about what occurred the past couple of months and the students, you know, sort of, quote, losing ground. I think it raises some real possibilities in my experience with policymakers to start looking for how do we address that anxiety. Maybe going to JP's point about common sense. It may be common sense, but it will also be good politics to have something to address. Yeah. And I think in that kind of thing, some sort of, if we keep an eye out, a weather eye out for the opportunity to do culture, sort of holistic approaches, squad, you know, send our message about innovations, I think there may be some opportunities for Navigator in the future to help to be an example and to get more support in terms of what James and the teams are doing.
Yeah. Keep our fingers crossed.
Yeah. Okay. Any other comments on the CEO report? Moving to section two, item A, the Academic Success Committee report. Claire, I think this is your first report, isn't it?
It is. Oh. So I have my notes, and anybody can jump in at any time in case I missed something.
Thank you.
And can you hear me okay? Because my internet. Okay. All right. Yep. So we talked about interventions for those students who continue to struggle and the turnaround for those students. There was some conversation around, you know, who do we target? Why do we target, and for how long? We talked about, James, we talked about the finding the correlations between some other factors and why those students continue to struggle even after the interventions. Is that correct? Is that my understanding?
Yes, we were trying to look at things that we do and how kids perform in those, and then how did their results on the SBAC test look relative to students that didn't perform as well on the academic programs we're using, and then we saw the same results. And so I think the point of an intervention is you're adding more time in a core area for a student that hopefully closes that gap.
Thank you. And then I think we also talked about that continuum of a success in terms of the long-term piece, carrying it on into past, you know, the K to third, and then the third to sixth, and then beyond that past eighth grade. So I think we talked about that as well. And then the Boys and Girls Club was a big discussion as well. But I know that's on the agenda.
Any questions for the chair of the academic committee? Claire, thanks very much. Thank you for reviewing for the Boys and Girls Club proposal. That's extensive and lengthy, and it's one of the reasons why we have committees, so that they can do the heavy lifting, and those of us who are not on it can rely on the good work you do. So thank you. That was very helpful to see in the minutes. Any questions or comments for Claire? Okay, thanks, Claire, and thanks again for assuming the chair. We'll move to the Boys and Girls Club proposal. Kevin, do you want to talk about that? Item B.
Sure. Thank you, John. So this is a new program for us. Is the extended learning opportunities program. And it's one of the reasons why I kind of jumped in to support the team, because everybody's pretty full plates and about overflowing maybe at times. So when that happens, you know, we look around the table who wants to jump in and help us get something going. So I did a lot of after school programming in my days in Los Angeles. So I kind of took the initial lead, which is why I wrote this report, but I'll say it wouldn't have been possible without Kirsten's great networking and bringing the Silicon Valley Boys and Girls Club to the table, which really allowed us to quickly figure out partners that could work and support us on our program, at least in Hollister and Gilroy, which is the Silicon Valley Boys and Girls Club's region. There's some possibility that they could have interagency agreements with their other Boys and Girls Club providers in the Santa Cruz County area and Alameda County. But for now, we're starting in part of their wheelhouse region, again, if the board approves it. But just to show you on the screen here, the amount of extended learning opportunity program funding that we have. So the funding started last year and continued this year. And so the state allowed carryover from last year to this year. We're anticipating that this year's funds, if they go unused, will be allowed to be carried over to next year. I don't know if that's been a formality yet. Shara, do you know if that's been formalized? No, not yet. We're anticipating at least a one-year carryover. So we're not like in a mad dash to spend everything that's on the right side there. But if we partner with the Boys and Girls Club for Gilroy Prep and Hollister Prep, we'll make a pretty good dent in using those funds to serve our students. It'd be combined for after school and a summer program, $260,000. That'll be to serve up to 100 students. They are able to serve more than 100 students if we see there's the demand for it. And then that cost would scale for every group of 20 students. So they couldn't give us a student by student increase because of the way that they staff and their commitment to the ratios that are in the MOU that's proposed. So however, they do have the capacity to increase. This program would start late November when we come back from Thanksgiving, and it will be every day after school. It'll start on our early dismissal days. And for now, we're looking at meeting the intercession needs through the summer program, as opposed to looking at providing programming options during spring or when we do the ski week, the between the President's Days. But those are things that we may be able to explore down the road if we feel, if parents are identifying that as a high priority area. But at this point, we're starting with the proposal is to really start again in kind of the wheelhouse of the Boys and Girls Club, where they do summer programs, they do after school programs. We know they work with Shara at Alpha and at a number of the Rocket Ship schools to do the what we call ELOP, the Extended Learning Opportunity Program. So they're familiar with all the requirements. And so, yeah, we were thankful for the academic committee to review the proposal and ask great questions. And I think we're ready to make a recommendation. I'm happy to pass the mic to Kirsten or anybody from the Academic Success Committee who might want to say anything else.
I don't hear anything.
I think the academic programming, I was impressed with what they offered. There've been, we've worked with different organizations in the past, the City of Gilroy, YMCA, and others. And this one sounds like the most solid turnkey program I've run into.
We worked with the Boys and Girls Club very closely with KIPP, and they still do, and very professional organization. They deliver the value proposition that they articulate. Char, I'm sure your experience has, I would assume, been similar.
I would say largely yes. There does have to be strong internal management of the integration between Boys and Girls Club and the schools. And so we have gotten wiser about how to do that over the years, but I just want to, you know, it doesn't just seamlessly fit together. You have to put in a lot of work and create the system. So, you know, right. If that is done well, then yes, this is going to be a very fruitful partnership.
Thank you, Shara. And as I've said to you at the board onboarding, I plan on talking to the person at with you that has been kind of the conduit. So thank you.
John, you're muted again.
I'm sorry. Claire, would you like to make a proposal to approve the Boys and Girls?
Sure. And I don't have any personal experience working with the Boys and Girls Club, but I really liked the proposal and the thoughtfulness of it all. So I'm in full support. And if there could be a proposal made to approve the Boys and Girls Club.
So moved. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Chuck. Further discussion? Hearing none, we'll move for a vote. Sean, would you call the roll, please, to approve the proposal?
Chuck Daggs?
Aye.
Claire Grissom?
Yes.
Ian Connell?
Aye.
JP Anderson?
Aye.
Hina Kuroga?
Aye.
John Flaherty?
Aye.
Shara Hegde?
Aye.
Victor Paredes Colonia?
Aye.
The motion is approved.
Thank you.
John, I should have mentioned this before, but Tom did a thorough review of the MOU and made great suggestions that were incorporated. So thank you, Tom, for that work on that.
So noted.
You're welcome, Kevin. Thank you.
Moving on to item C, the Finance Committee report. Victor?
Yes, hi. Thank you. We met on October 20th to go over two main items, one of which we're voting tonight, which is the revised proposed budget. And the other was to walk through the unaudited financials or the unaudited actuals. The main takeaway I would say for the revised proposed budget is you'll notice in the details that there was a substantial increase in revenue. And this was from the LCFF revenue increase. And then you'll see also in the details that there was an adjustment made on kind of some of the unfavorable or expenses side of the house. And that was mainly done because of the CEO search. And that takes some time. And that also takes some some monies to essentially do that search and to facilitate that. So those were the two biggest adjustments from the proposed budget. The other thing, and Kevin alluded to it earlier today, is that we're going to be meeting in a future meeting to go through some of the facilities needs, discuss planning around that and some of the costs associated with that. So those are things to come, but the main thing for tonight will be voting on the proposed budget.
Thank you, Victor. We will move on to item D, the proposed budget revisions that the finance chair is referring to. And Amy, you're recognized.
Thank you so much. I'm hoping you all had a chance to open the link, that there wasn't a problem with it. I'm hoping that the narrative really explained in detail the big chunks of revenue and expenses. We did, if you noticed on the narrative, that each of the sites had staffing that was added. Even Hayward Collegiate, we added some staffing. The revenue, the LCFF revenue, the big jump was that when we budgeted, we only budgeted for a 6.something% COLA, but it came out that it ended up being a total of a 12.56% COLA. And so we were able to, in this revise, put in that extra 6%, which really, really boosted that revenue, which allowed us to be comfortable adding these positions that the sites were really in need of. And we really tried during this budget revision to say need versus want, like what is needed versus what would be nice to have. We tried to leave the nice to haves out because we know that going forward, we have to sustain that net revenue. So I'm open to questions if anyone has any questions about this budget revise.
I just want to point out that and commend you and just all the work that you've done on this, because this is, for me, this is how we should be budgeting, and gives me peace of mind as a board member to approach this in a conservative way. And when the numbers fall as they did, and it's a positive, and then now we get to, you know, staff up and add additional resources versus some reverse situation. So just, you know, thanks for your continued, you know, stewardship of this, and it's just great to see that we're in a strong, healthy financial point as we're going forward, and we can evaluate different things, you know, to address some of the, you know, academic challenges that we discussed earlier.
Thank you, Ian.
You're here. Any other comments or questions? Hearing none. Do I hear a motion? Ian, do you want to make a motion to approve it?
Yeah, motion to approve the unaudited financials.
Budget revisions, yeah.
Budget revision, yeah.
Victor, I'll second.
Thank you, Victor. Do I hear any additional comments? Hearing none, Sean, would you call the roll, please?
Chuck Daggs?
Aye.
Claire Grissom?
Yes.
Ian Connell?
Aye.
JP Anderson?
Aye.
Jaime Quiroga?
Aye.
John Faraday?
Aye.
Shara Hegde?
Aye.
Victor Perez-Fonia?
Aye.
The motion is approved.
Thank you, Sean. Moving on to item E. On the June unaudited actuals.
Thank you. This is me again, I think. The unaudited actuals for June, they're organization-wide. When we presented them to the Finance Committee the first time, we presented them just for the three sites with the alt forms that we fill out to send to our counties and our districts. And so this time when we went to the Finance Committee, we presented them as a whole organization. I also want to just state and note that these may change once the audit is complete. There's some deferred revenue. There's all the federal funding that I've been working with the auditors on now to just make sure that we're booking all of that extra funding that we're getting in the correct manner. And so some of that funding may be moved into deferred revenue by the time we are finished. But this is a really good snapshot of where we ended June 30th at. And again, I'm open to questions.
And John, this one is, doesn't need to be approved. This is a right. information right. item.
Right. Any additional, any other questions or comments for Amy or Victor? Okay, thank you both for both these items. Amy, appreciate your continued efforts on this.
Thank you.
Echoing Ian's comments. Moving on to item F, the governance committee report. The governance committee met on the 18th of this month. All members were present. The committee fundamentally worked on the board committees, and I'll say that all of the board members who were asked to volunteer or shift did so. So thank you very much. After the subsequent recommendations, there are two items that we talked about. One was the compliance review resolution with respect to Watsonville, which you'll hear about in our next item, and the Hayward Collegiate situation, where we had a full discussion with Kevin and the general counsel, an update. And it allows me to talk about this. I want to really thank the committee chairs, Claire for the Boys and Girls proposal, Victor for the work on the two budget items, particularly the first, and Kirsten for coming and briefing the governance committee on the Watsonville program, where we were allowed to sort of represent the board in drilling down a little bit farther. That's the way a board should work. And that's the way this board is working. Committees are doing a lot of the heavy lifting. And I just want to thank the members of the board who are on these committees for doing this important work there, give the rest of us the opportunity to sort of look to you and say, okay, this is okay. I didn't digest it completely. So thanks very much. Appreciate it. So the Watsonville, the governance committee approved although it wasn't a vote, I had a consensus approval of the Watsonville report. And on the Hayward Collegiate update, I don't want to reopen this issue, but to say make the following points, which was as Kevin mentioned in his report, there were some process, product, personnel issues that you would expect in this situation. And Kevin kept the board and the governance committee informed. There was a tiger team created, what I'll call a tiger team, of the general counsel of Kevin, James, and Kirsten, who immediately sort of went to the location and did a lot of meeting folks. And in sort of in the bullpen was Jaime, Shara, and Nina to assist when needed. I think it was that fast response that I think helped a lot in terms of keeping this challenge contained and turning it into something that may be beneficial for Hayward Collegiate Navigator. So thank you all for being responsive. Thank you also goes to Jaime for bringing some of these issues to our attention.
to sort of serving as a resource and again, keeping his, as Kevin said, keeping his eye on it. So more work to be done, but a lot has happened. And I just want to thank all those folks for the fast response, and the governance committee was felt awfully good about hearing all of these things that took place. So thank you. The last items, we discussed three other items, the CEO search, the CEO compensation, and the general counsel services. We can talk about those as appropriate. There was one last item, which was a follow-up. We had a discussion of the onboarding reboarding process and did a follow-up that we are passing on five items with some additional, with a lot of additional detail on those five items of personnel metrics, external relations and communication, organizational culture, and needed activities by the board of directors. We'll be passing those on to the ad hoc committee for organizational success. And that completes my report of the governance committee. Thank you. Any questions? Okay, hearing none, we will move on to item G, the Watsonville Prep School Compliance Review. And Kirsten, you're recognized.
Thank you, John, and thank you for queuing it up for me. As you saw in your packet, as part of our annual state review, they will come visit us and get to tour all of our classrooms. We have a great opportunity to showcase our program. But before we get to do that, we get to fill out some information and then make sure that you, as the board, our oversight to make sure that we are providing all of the various items of compliance that we say that we will provide, and we're providing a safe and welcoming and nurturing environment for all of our little WPS sharks. So what was presented to you was what they look for, and then what we do and how we meet all of those requirements. So I'm open to any questions, or if there was something that wasn't clear, I'm happy to answer it at this time.
Thank you, Kirsten. Hearing no questions, do I hear a motion to approve the compliance review?
Motion.
Second.
Thank you, Shar. JP seconds. Any additional comments or discussion? Hearing none, Sean, would you call the vote to approve the compliance review at Watsonville, please? WPS.
Chuck Daggs.
Aye.
Claire Grissom.
Yes.
Ian Connell.
Aye.
JP Anderson.
Aye.
Jaime Quiroga.
Aye.
John Flaherty.
Aye.
Shar Hegde.
Aye.
Victor Paredes Colonia.
Aye.
Motion is approved.
Thank you. And again, Kirsten, thank you. Moving on to item H, the general counsel agreement. The board is set to vote on the approval of an agreement for the general counsel services. All of you were provided in your materials the draft agreement. I wanted the board to review this because the general counsel essentially works for the board in terms of its representation. I'll make three points. The governance committee reviewed this, and there was unanimous consensus that this agreement should go forward. There is an increase in the funds. And before we did that, we had Kevin the CEO do comps for the respective private charter schools in California. And we are on target with respect to that. Third, we've drawn in this past year, we've drawn on Thomas Love's much more than our retainer would have given us opportunity. And I think this adjusts that. It recognizes the past work that he's done. And I will tell you, if at 5:30 you all received a notice, a letter from Tom regarding a item that we will be addressing in November, a personnel matter. And it just underscores the heavy reliance we have on Tom in terms of his work. So it's a good opportunity for me to say thank you, to strongly urge the board to pass this, and feel good that JP and Ian agreed with me. Any additional comments or questions?
John, just my only other comment is I just think that for everyone else on the board, other than all the support we've had thus far, I think when you just look forward into the environment that we're going into and changing, policies and how quickly things are being dynamic, and our ability to stay within, compliance across all aspects, and having that expert counsel is just like invaluable for us to continue to operate as a public entity. So I just think that this is very wise for us to increase our engagement.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, hearing no comments or questions, I will make the motion to approve the cost of living adjustment 2022-23 in the form of an approval of an agreement. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
A number of seconds, and we'll put that for the record. I think it was Victor, JP, and Ian, and we will move to a vote. Sean?
Chuck Daggs?
Aye.
Claire Grissom?
Aye.
Ian Connell?
Aye.
JP Anderson?
Aye.
Jaime Carroga?
Aye.
John Flaherty?
Aye.
Shara Hegde?
Aye.
Victor Paredes Colonia?
Aye.
The motion is approved.
Thank you. And thank you, Tom. You'll earn every dollar of it, as you have so far, and then some. So appreciate it very much.
Thank you, board, for your consideration and for your confidence.
The next item we have is the CEO compensation, the cost of living adjustment for 22.3. The board already approved the cost of living adjustment for all staff earlier this year. And if you recall, that was a 5% salary increase. The budget increase was for all employees. At the time, because of the events, I think it was sometime in the summer, we took away, we pulled the CEO out of that with the commitment of going back to it at a later date. This is the later date. The developments that have occurred since we did that vote, this is another item that the governance committee was unanimous in its consensus that this item should be passed. It It meets all the comparability review per the California government code, which is was, I think, included in your materials. So do I have any, do I hear any, I will make a motion to approve. Do I hear a second?
John, can I ask a question? Is this?
Yeah, I was going to, if I can get a second, then I want to move to questions.
Oh, I'll second.
Okay, thanks. Char, discussion and questions?
I was just curious if it was retroactive to July 1 at the beginning of the fiscal year, or if we wanted to, if it was effective immediately, or what?
It is retroactive.
Great. I'm in agreement with that.
Makes sense.
Any other questions or comments? Hearing none.
I have a brief,
brief
comment. Yeah. I think we're very fortunate to have Kevin in this role, in the leadership he's provided to get us to this stage, and the leadership he's providing as we go through this this transition. I think we're very fortunate to have someone as professional and competent as Kevin.
Thank you, Chuck.
Thank you, Chuck. I see nods of affirmation for the record. Victor and others, thank you. Do I hear any other comments? Then Sean, would you call the vote, please?
Chuck Daggs?
Aye.
Claire Grissom?
Aye.
Ian Connell?
Aye.
JP Anderson? I didn't hear
JP. JP, you're on mute. Okay, you want to move on?
Jaime Quiroga?
Aye.
John Flaherty?
Aye. And JP is back on.
Sorry, guys, my finger wasn't working. Aye.
Okay. Shar Hegde?
Aye.
Victor Predescolonia?
Aye.
The motion is approved.
Thank you, Sean.
Thank you all. I love my job and I would have stayed without it, but thank you for the support. I appreciate it.
Well, now you tell us. thank you, Kevin. We'll move on to item J, the Ad Hoc Committee on Organizational Success. I talked about this during the Governance Committee report. I just want to clarify that when I mentioned the Board of Directors, it was things that the Board has to do, the strategic plan, the Executive Committee, consideration, material revisions, expansion of the board and board responsibilities are the type of thing would look at the Board of Directors. We also would, we have to look at the evaluations. I wanted to also identify that in terms of 360s from the CEO/president all the way down through senior staff, and that's another item out of many that we will be looking at. So that's it. Are there any questions? There'll be more coming in the next meeting. Meeting will meet, or I'm sorry, the committee will meet in the near future. Do I hear any questions? Hearing none. We will move on to the CEO search. The ad hoc committee, which sort of stood in for a search committee, met on Friday and Monday with two outstanding candidates, firms that were search committee firms for a new CEO. The reason why we didn't call them a search committee is because we wanted the firm that the board selected to be involved in developing and constituting the search committee from the board. So the ad hoc committee did it. We reported it to the governance committee and we pushed it through that way so that it comes to the board. Now, I'm going to turn this over to the other members of the group who had an opportunity to discuss it while keeping under quorum rules earlier this evening, but to simply say there were two outstanding firms, and it was either one of them, in my judgment, will be absolutely terrific. So with that comment, I'll turn it over to Chuck and Shara and invite everyone to make the comments, including Ian and JP.
Thanks, John.
The unanimous opinion that Shara was going to share with the group.
Yeah. So a couple of us who were fortunate enough to sit in the interviews today or in the interviews in the past few days did discuss, and we have prepared a recommendation for the board. First, our gratitude to everyone who participated in the interview process. Kevin brought three great contenders. It was narrowed down to two, and the interviews were very strong. We peppered both firms with lots of questions about things that mattered to us, because not only do we want to find a great leader for this organization, but we also want to make sure we're going through a rigorous, equitable, and bias-free process. So with that, and after a lot of deliberation, the committee would like to put forth a recommendation to the board that we approve the proposal from Leveled Talent and Executive Search to conduct the process and the search for Navigator's next CEO. And so that proposal is in your materials. If you have any questions, we'd be happy to try and answer them the best we can, and then also invite the other members of the committee to jump in.
I would just, I really can't add anything. I think you've covered it well. We did have two extraordinary candidates, which everybody agreed upon. And after deliberating and thinking this through and what our needs are and where we're trying to go or take this organization, we had a unanimous opinion that this is the right step and the right organization to affiliate with us in this process. So I'm excited about it going forward. There's going to be a lot expected of us as a board. It's a pretty rigorous process, but I think at the end of the day, it'll be a win-win for everybody.
Ian, do you have any comments?
Nothing meaningful to add, just as a point of context for the rest of the board. With this recommendation, this is a firm and particularly an individual that many folks and other networks at the Charter School Growth Fund have worked with in the past and have been very pleased and happy with the result and the process. And so have that also. There's our process that we ran, and there's also validation from other groups that have used Leveled in the past.
JP.
Thanks, John. I was able to sit in on the interview with Raven, and I would find it hard pressed for anybody else to come across with a better presentation and more confidence in the fact that we would be working with her directly. It gives me more warm fuzzy that we would know what her expectations are as well. So I concur with the recommendation that the board is going to make going forward.
Yes, I would, as a person who sat in on interviews, I would simply say agree with all the other comments. I've sat in on a lot of interviews by the three major executive firms, Korn Ferry, Heidrick & Struggles, and Spencer Stewart, and on specialists watching people try and recruit my spouse. These people were absolutely superb. I don't think I've ever come across two search firms that were as good as they were in their presentations. So I want to thank the other members of the board for sitting in on them. And I just want to, Kevin and Ian and others, thank you for bringing these people before the board. So, and please convey to Agility that we appreciate their just exactly what we thought of them as well. So recommending the firm that Shar talked about, do I hear a motion to approve? Well, we have a motion in a second. Sean, would you, any further discussion and questions? Hearing none. Sean, would you would you call a roll, please, for approval of retaining this firm?
So, John, just to confirm, Shara made the first motion?
She did.
Sure, yes. Motion to approve the proposal from Leveled Talent.
And the second?
Second.
Came from Chuck.
Okay. Thank you. Chuck Daggs?
Aye.
Claire Grissom?
Aye.
Ian Connell?
Aye.
JP Anderson?
Aye.
Jaime Carruga?
Aye.
John Flaherty?
Aye.
Shara Hegde?
Aye.
Victor Paredes Colonia?
Aye.
The motion is approved.
Thank you. Before we adjourn, I know that Shara is, I will speak objectively, being a great citizen and working hard on various elections. I just want to commend her for her role as an active citizen in the in her community and in our community. Thank you very much, Shara. We'll move to a motion to adjourn. Do I hear a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
And do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Jaime. Discussion is we finished a half hour earlier than scheduled. I think that's, again, a credit to the committees and to the board being prepared. So thank you very much for the extra work you put into it. Sean, would you call a roll for adjournment, please?
Chuck Daggs?
Aye.
Claire Grissom?
Aye.
Ian Connell?
Aye.
JP Anderson?
Aye.
Jaime Carruga?
Aye.
John Flaherty?
Aye.
Shara Hegde?
Aye.
Victor Paredes Colonia?
Aye.
The motion to adjourn is approved.
Thank you. Meeting adjourned. Thank you, everyone.
All right. Good night, everyone.
Good meeting.
Bye. Thank you.